Episode number 311.
When I look at business, I think about it's a way to impact people. And when I look at a way to impact people, my grandma made everyone around her very, very happy. Mm. And so when I think about everything that I do from a business context, whether it's a book, whether it's the software, whatever, it's all how do you do that, right? How do you make people happy through your own work?
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
And welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis, Too Tall and Huff. Folks, you know your boy is fired up and fuegoed up and ready to bring you some fire and energy in your day because change is on the way. It's been on the way. And now more than ever, we're undergoing really the most massive change you can ever imagine in your work, in your life, in your day. And it's a really good thing if you embrace it and are willing to embrace it. And it can be scary as hell for others. So we're going to talk to you, an expert, Mr. Matthew Mottola. Matthew, are you ready to be real?
Let's do this. I don't know if I can match your excitement, but I'm going to try.
Absolutely, my man. So you are an author, a change maker, and a freelance futurist. And like we talked about, we're undergoing a massive change. It's obviously the pandemic. It's maybe fast forwarded a bunch, but it's been happening before that. And the opportunity is real to control your own life, control the sunshine and rainbows in your life, and realize that work is everywhere. And there's so many availabilities to do freelance work that can bring you multiple streams of revenue using your skills, using the things that you know how to do, and also learning new skills because it's not hard to learn these days. So Matthew's actually written a book, guys. It's called The Human Cloud. And I think everyone needs to read this book and check it out. But tell us a little bit about your journey into the freelance remote world, man. It's a new world.
Yeah, so I think the high level is, listen, this is the deal. Never before have we been able to do so much with so little. And that can be your age, that can be where you're located, that can be money. And so sort of my own journey has been, I got very, very lucky because I was exposed to the freelance economy early on. A lot of people like to say, when we talk about freelancing, they talk about like the Tim Ferriss, like 4-hour work week, sitting on a beach. I kind of say, F that, like, yeah. If I can't swear, like, fuck that. If I had a freelance out of survival, I needed to make money, couldn't do it in a full-time job. Freelancing was the only option. Right. But I was really fortunate because what freelancing showed me was that we're moving towards an outcome world. What I mean by that is if you're a developer, you're a designer, you're a marketer, you're a writer, you name it, you are going to, instead of just taking a salary, say, what outcomes can I complete? And whether you are freelancing, whether you're hiring freelancers, or whether you're whatever you're doing, you can use remote work technologies and the freelance economy to do more with less. And that can mean you're accelerating your career. That can mean you have your own career being a freelancer. You can start a business. But it's really all about that. It's all about being able to do outcomes at scale without needing as much as you used to 20 years ago.
Dude, and you're hitting it on the head, guys. When I started my business, literally 11 years ago. Now, or it's actually going to be 12 years ago, 2009, June of 2009. And when we tried to get projects done, we thought of using freelancers first thing. And because we were just staying lean and mean, same reason why when people said, hey, you guys should get an office space, we pushed back and said, hey, our clients have offices and we usually go to them and they don't want to come to ours. Why do we need offices? Why can't we do this on Zoom? Or at the time it was really Skype and, you know, email and phone. And now it's Zoom really and FaceTime video and et cetera, et cetera. But the point is understanding that we aren't going backwards. We are going forward. We aren't deciding to go backwards. Yeah, some people are going to get back into work. Let's just be real. Of course. But they're not going to stop using Zoom. And also, a lot of people really like the fact that they control the outcome of their life. Like you talked about, they can work 4 or 5 hours, super efficient, live more of their lives, do the things they want to do. They're happier. The employer's happier. Everybody wins. Everybody wins because you can find talent from everywhere. And with freelancers, especially what I always told people all the time, they would ask, hey, why don't you have a freelance graphic designer? And I said, you know what? We got about 50 freelance graphic designers. So in case one project holds us back, we can go to our other person simultaneously, as well as if we had a blog writer. Why don't you have a blog writer in-house? It's like, you know what? Same reason. And then also vice versa. If I don't have work for them, I'm not paying them to sit around and just work on nothing. So you're absolutely right. We're in an outcome world. But then as a freelancer, the beauty is you create a listing on Fiverr, Upwork, you know, wherever. Look up, you know, freelance work. There's tons of platforms out there, but Fiverr's a really good one. And there's other really good ones out there. Upwork, a few other ones that I've recently seen too, but tons of opportunities and tons of just jobs that are just on Craigslist or on different other places too, if you're looking. But the point is, you put a profile together, you put yourself out there, and then people want to hire you and gig. And I'll be transparent with you, Matt. That's what we've done all the time, man. We've turned some of our communities. We had a music community when I transitioned guys from producing music. I realized that the hardest part of music is distribution. Like, every single artist is looking for distribution. So I thought, how can I spend some time giving back to artists? So we created a music blog where we're featuring their music. So then all of a sudden we had agencies and artists hitting us up and saying, hey, dude, can you feature us? Can you feature us? And a lot of times we just said, yes, we'll feature you just for content, you know, just to have stuff on there. And then obviously finding The Weeknd or the top artists and putting them on there too. So it's a mix of popular stuff, a mix of stuff that you've never even heard of. And then all of a sudden we realized, hey, we put this gig on a certain platform, put $25 or $5 or $10 or $20 or whatever you think the value is. All of a sudden you have artists paying you money to put up your blogs that you were already going to do. And there you go. And that's literally everyone in the world could do something similar. You could start a blog on a topic and then create a certain amount of content. So it looks, you know, it's legit. You don't necessarily have to sell it based on the numbers, guys, if you're worried about that in the beginning. And then the next thing you know, you have a show, you have a piece of things that someone wants to not only pay for, but be a part of. And so I think that's the beauty. And then, like you explained with freelance, I mean, there's just so many things you can do. Whether you want to hire an accountant, whether you want to hire a graphic designer, do you want this person to work full time for you? No, freelance, yeah. Right? I mean,
and I think that's one thing too, Travis, that we want to make sure we get across is like, listen, this is not saying that every single one of us all of a sudden have to be a free agent sitting on a gig platform, right? In no way, shape, or form do I believe that. But instead what this is saying is, would you rather sit and wait for a checklist to come your way and just do each box of the checklist, or would you rather take ownership over the outcomes that you want to control? And so if you're sitting in a corporation, you now have more power to do more than ever before. And that means that you might want to climb the ladder, which is totally fine.
Right.
And you might do that by saying, hey, I'm going to commit to these outcomes. And instead of doing it all myself, I'm going to have a collaboration between 5 to 15 fellow freelancers. Mm-hmm. And that's actually one of the major, major shifts, is that instead of having a bunch of specialized employees, you're able to say, hey, you're going to be a product manager. And you're going to take ownership over this outcome. And even though you're just a marketer, you're now going to have front-end developers, designers, SEO experts, you name it, so that you can make these amazing outcomes within our company and climb faster than you ever would have been able to before.
Interesting. Fascinating. And that's the truth. I mean, you're literally, you know, you can't do it all. You know, you can have a great idea, but if you start trying to edit the video and put together the social media posts and edit them all and schedule them all and then take screen shares and then show the reporting, and you know, it takes multiple people for it to be done efficiently. And the beauty of like what you're explaining about today, guys, in this world that we live in, is that there's people on the other end that are accountable, they're willing to do the work, and they're willing to get paid to do the outcome or the objective. No water cooler time, no Facebook time. If they want to spend that, that's on them. That's in the profit that they put on the job. Right? I mean, that's when I literally look at it. If you are a business owner, you have to make smart decisions with your money. If you have $1, you got to make smart. You know, if you have $1 million, you still got to be smart with that same million. So the whole point is, you know, got $100 million, maybe you got a little different problems. But, you know, if you got anywhere between $1 and $1 million, guys, right now as entrepreneurs, instead of thinking, I need to have someone in-house doing full-time this, full-time that for me, you need to create that team and be the person that helps just keep them accountable. I think the biggest thing I found with working with freelancers is just giving them all the details as much as you can, working out those details in advance, you know, kind of, because the less back and forth time you have, the less that you just, it's more efficient for everybody. If you spend a little bit more time prepping, I found working with freelancers, it's even more efficient. Unlike with your team, you know, you can kind of be with them. Oh, hey, you know, change this, change that, because you may be right there with them. Okay, it's easy. Freelancers, they may got 50 other clients they're serving, right? So you got to be efficient for them too. And then that's when they give you a better price is what I found is like, is when you're like, hey, I'm really efficient with you because I give you everything you need. And you're not going to, you know, you're very grateful because you don't have to go back and forth. You got everything, you know, and they are very grateful for that too, because a lot of times they experience the back and forth. And I think that gets better over time too, you know?
Yeah. And I really too, I really want to call out that point that you made about, you know, from $1 to $1 million, because the one of the big assumptions is that it's expensive to get people to help you. Right. And that's been true the past 20 years, right? Like if you really wanted to create change at scale, usually the route was you become an entrepreneur that's already rich. You become an entrepreneur that gives up absolutely everything in your life to make it, right. Or you become a manager with 50 person headcount and a big budget. This is absolutely not saying that. And my favorite example was when I was, you know, I was a poor ass 25-year-old in San Francisco living in the living room, and I needed to get a university textbook designed. Now, in the old ways, I would have had to go to a design agency, or I would have had to work in a company, become a manager to have that budget and headcount. Right. But instead, I hired a freelancer for $1,000. I'm sorry, but we all have $1,000. If we want to, we can find a way to make $1,000 work. Right. And like I said, I was poor as hell. I was 25. I was living in a living room in San Francisco. I was using all the startup's food and stuff. And the money that I did save was going to hiring freelancers. So I do want to hammer at that point of, listen, the opportunity is distributed. Everyone, this is not excluded to people that just have a bunch of money.
And that's a great point. I mean, that is the greatest point. And on the flip side, guys, I always say, you aren't a business unless you make a dollar. So, you know, on the vice versa, don't just blow money either. If you got investors and you don't just blow their money, you know, if you aren't making money, you don't have a business. So try to bootstrap. I'm a huge believer in bootstrap businesses because you instantly have proof of work. If you have, you know, what they call proof of concept in the app business or whatever. It's you instantly have proof that this is going to work if you start getting checks. It doesn't mean it's going to work for sure, but the opposite can be true too. You take a bunch of money, you think I'm going to make this work, and then you can't even go out and get a sale, you know? And that I think everyone's kind of figuring out these days too, is that being able to sell the things you have are very important, you know, sell the skills you have.
Do you want to break this down with the book, Travis?
Yeah, let's go.
We want to break down a play-by-play. So, yeah, okay. Go. So the book technically started 3 years ago. And it was myself writing. Actually, I've written two books that just never went out because you have to fail a bunch for something to actually work, right? So I've written two books, and then one of them was a report on the future of work, and it was freelance economy and artificial intelligence. And so I did everything that I could. I sort of I knew the freelance side. I tried to teach myself the AI side, but I knew that I couldn't be the one to basically give the stamp of approval. So I hired for $150 an editor to technically vet, meaning they were the expert in artificial intelligence. Only $150. What happened was that created the relationship that turned into my now co-author, Matt Coatney, who's a CTO. And so it went from that $150 project to a $500 project to the point that we realized, holy crap, there's actually a real book opportunity here that we can go with traditional publishers. Wow. So at first it was, what, a $650 investment, which then turned into traditional publishers, which means you get an advance and you get specific payments. So exactly. So then we set off of that, what was it, $650. There was then a payment that significant, had a great ROI based off of that. We turned that back around and said, okay, now let's invest in the actual writing of the book. Right. You know, for everyone out there, the writing of the book was $22,000. Like, there was a significant investment. There was 15 freelancers, everything from researching to writing, we had a comedian in there, to the PR, meaning like four people coming in and making sure we weren't going to have a huge blowout. Right. But yeah, so that's literally the step-by-step, was that it started with $150, bring in Matt Coney as a technical editor, turned into $500. That gave us a huge ROI when we signed our first traditional publisher. Not easy, took over a year to get rejected. But then it was, you know, like you were, because I really wanted to call out that business mindset of this is not just spend a bunch of money and there it goes. This is a very, very, very disciplined sort of ROI-based mindset.
It's the only way to think, especially now going forward, because cash is very, I mean, whatever asset you have, cash, Bitcoin, stocks, blah, 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 it's all very valuable right now. And you don't want to just blow it. So it's so important. You can spend it wisely. And then, like you said, you know, if you do grind in that process, but the bottom line is the outcome, especially if thought wisely, is much greater than what you put into it, whether that's your time, effort, energy, or your physical finances. And a lot of times we aren't experts in some of these things. So that's why having the team of freelancers, like you said, the public relations people, and having a different people working on you, it just makes it that much better. It
oh,
makes
you know, better what, you know what else we did, Travis? Actually, I forgot about this. So, because this is this is where I'm reflecting. So I'm like, oh shit, I missed that. Okay. Getting the publisher was one of the hardest things I've done in my life. What we did was we also hired a freelancer for, I think, $500. But what she did was she went and she did market research and she figured out why a publisher would go with us. So she literally looked at the top 15 to 30 books. She looked at the pros, she looked at the cons, she looked at all the reviews, and she did sort of a sentiment analysis. And she basically was able to tell us, hey, Matt and Matt, this is your hook from a publisher perspective, because if you know publishers, they just care about books sold, right? But it was all because of that, not all, but mostly because of that freelancer that could break up the market research to say, this is why, you know, you're a publisher-backed book versus just an independent type book.
And that gave you the, then you'd reach out, did you reach out based on that knowledge? Got you.
Exactly. Wow. Absolutely. Because the way the process works is like, there is a, it's just like raising venture capital where, you know, there was like a 50 to 100 page proposal document, and that proposal document has to catch their eye, right? And then from the proposal doc, you meet one time, they basically are just vetting the crap out of you. Can you sell 10 to 20,000 books? And it's just like anything, you meet with 100 people, 99 say, this isn't going to work. It's not your fault. It's just not the right timing. And then one says, oh my God, you're right. This is the insight. This is the data to back it. And Matt and I actually worked full-time jobs at the time too. So like I've always bounced in between freelancing full-time based right off the opportunity. But yeah, no, this reminds me, Lauren Detweiler's her name. If anyone wants to hire a phenomenal go-to-market
like recent freelancer. Book, that's cool, man. It's like yeah. So many different ways to break this out. And there's, like I said, so many different insights that you do not have. And the beauty of having the team is that while you're doing something, like in that same hour, the graphic artist is doing something in that hour, the research person is doing something in that hour, and it's just that much more productive to get these projects happening. Otherwise, they just sit on your desk forever. You know, I think that it does take a little investment sometimes and a little risk, because it's not going to all guarantee pan out, but you don't know unless you try. You don't know unless you try, man. So thank God for you and your trying, and then also using these freelance specialists to get you to where you're at now, man. And I think that you're going to even hack it even more because you got more fuel to the fire and you understand the success and you're going through the journey. And so it could only even go up from here. Like I believe all the best entrepreneurs understand once they get that fuel to go to the fire, baby, that it becomes a little easier because you do understand the hardships and how to use those dollars more wisely. So God bless you, brothers. And you're out the beautiful Miami. I remember my, Anthony Pompeiano says, Miami is going to be the new New York City.
You want me to give my take? Yeah. I actually gave a hot take earlier today. I would agree.
Yeah.
I personally think that Miami is the best positioned city in the world in regards to founders, freelancers, and remote workers. And the number one reason I say that, which is very technical, is time zones. It's very easy to be global. So I was in Singapore, which I loved. My quality of life was incredible. I loved everything about the culture, loved it there. But it wasn't the EST time zone. So I was dealing with, we have freelancers on every single continent. Right. And so I was working till 8 a.m. and I realized, holy crap, this isn't feasible. Yeah. So I literally, you know, went to Delta.com, booked a flight to the U.S., went to Miami just thinking I want to be warm and I don't want to spend too much money. Right. And then I got here, and this is the second factor, is there's a bottom-up community. And so a lot of times you think like top down versus bottom up, right? Top down is government, bottom up is more the actual people and organizations. And so top down, Miami does have a mayor that's saying this, we want you, right? We want you tech people, we want you remote workers. If you are a business person, come here. We're going to make your life as easy as possible. And we're embracing you versus San Francisco, which is kind of like, you know, damn you capitalist, you've ruined us.
Right.
But so then from a bottom up perspective, there are, I mean, I can't even talk about how welcoming the groups have been, and not welcoming from a factor of like, here, take everything, more welcoming in terms of let us show you the city, let us show you our values, come boxing with us, come to the beach with us.
That's awesome.
So I would agree that post-pandemic, I still see Miami being sort of the city of the future because of the fact that it's easy to be global. And then the local community is just, there's something for everyone, which I'm not the most fuzzy community investor and stuff. For me, I'm very logical and business-minded. But no, there really is something for everyone here.
Yeah, I love the Cuban food too, man. I miss Ocean Beach and seeing that beautiful Miami South Beach. God bless you, brother. Now we're about to take you into our top 10. Are you ready?
Oh no, I'm scared.
Let's go. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Apple. Netflix or YouTube?
YouTube,
Instagram, or Facebook?
Neither, but if I have to, I'll go Instagram. There's better golden retriever memes.
IG. Nice. Chicken or steak if you're thinking about a good meal?
Steak.
Laptop or smartphone?
Laptop.
Spotify or Pandora?
Spotify.
Movies or video games?
Movies.
Reading books or listening to books?
Books. Reading books.
If you're thinking about investing, stocks or real estate?
I would say stocks, but I would, disclaimer, I spend most of my time with my companies.
Absolutely. That's what you got to do, baby. Put it in the companies that you own, that you can control, but also, you know, have a little money outside. Everyone's got to do their own thing. And oceans or lakes, if you're thinking about a vacation. Oceans. Where would you go right now if you could go to an ocean?
I'd go 20 minutes down the street.
Yeah, you're living in a freaking damn dream over there, bro. You're living in a damn dream on the ocean beach, goddammit. Oh, I love you, man. That's cool, bro. One of my beautiful, most beautiful drives you could ever take in the world is to take that drive down to Key West, bro. If you haven't taken that drive, the most beautiful drive, and stop at the little, there's a little stand right there by the Everglades that have the most amazing milkshakes. If you do like milkshakes, they're not the greatest for your diet, but you know what? We live once. So when you're waking up in the morning, man, you're getting you ready for your day. Why do you love being you?
That's a deep question, man. I love the people that I get to work with and interact with. I'd say it's something that has been, it's been a long and rough journey. It's definitely isn't something that overnight, you know, there's been a lot of pain, lost sleep, you name it. But the people that I get to work with, they inspire me daily. And I think that's the sort of what keeps my energy going is the freelancers that we get to meet with. And to be honest, like meeting someone in the UK, then meeting someone in Africa, then meeting someone in Asia, and then realizing like, holy shit, like you're all incredible people doing really cool stuff. It's just, I can't get enough of that.
It's inspiring. It's really inspiring, actually. I always find that, especially when I do my show, I'm like inspired by all these people that have so much success. And then underneath them, there's a lot of success that they're untold stories. You know, they're the people that are all along the journey. But I think the most successful entrepreneurs are inspired by their people. And whether that's the people, the outcome of their products, or also the people that they get to work with and help every day pay their bills, but also, you know, see them grow. And that's really cool, dude. Do you think you'll ever retire from the game? Do you think you'll ever stop writing books and running ships and running entrepreneurship and traveling the world?
It's a good question. I do know that when family time comes around, that will be the highest priority for me. I'm very, very serious about that. Never stop. And I think, you know, anyone that's young, I'm definitely racing to be able to earn that level of, being able to control my boundaries when that stuff rolls around. I can't imagine retiring. That just sounds like death, right? Like why? Like I'll play more tennis and stuff, but.
Right. I think the biggest thing is just never giving up on the new challenges of the day, you know, because 20 years from now, 40 years from now, Matt, when we are going to possibly be in that retirement zone age, it's going to look a lot different, the things and challenges and things. So we just don't know. And also obviously health and technology and all the gratitude we have to all these people making new things for life extension, but also just, you know, keeping us happy and healthy during even these toughest times that we've been going through already, you know? So I think the most important thing is that you never stop challenging yourself. No matter what your day looks like, you just take those new challenges from some of the smartest people I have known or interviewed. It seems like that's what they're on their plate, even if they're 70 or 80 and they're like doing something that they never even have to do. They're millionaires. They don't have to do it, but they're doing it because they want to. And it's helping people. And, you know, that's what keeps them waking up every day. And let's just be real. That's what life's about. Do you have a routine to start your day?
Oh, I wish I could say I did. No.
That's all right.
I wake up. I do have 8 a.m. stand-ups every morning since we have the team in Asia. But I do have 8 a.m. stand-ups. I'll be honest. I wake up at around 7:30. I roll around. I just roll around until about 7:45.
Nice.
Shower maybe. But no. I've seen all the books. I know how important it is to have a morning routine and everything.
but and maybe finally being in one place for a good amount of time, I'll finally have a routine. But no, I can't say I've nailed that.
Everyone's different, you know. Everyone has, some people just wake up and popped up and they're ready and they're just making their sheets and they're doing their thing. And some successful entrepreneurs just cozy out of bed. And it's just, the thing is, there's no right or wrong answer. It's what you like and what fits you that motivates you. Because the days are long, folks. They're not just a start. You know, you have to keep the day going. I always say that. Momentum goes all day and all night, and the next day goes again. And so it's a marathon, baby, in this entrepreneurship game.
You know what I used to do, Travis, relate to this stuff? Because I think this has been the best hack I had, was in grad school. I couldn't pay for grad school. I was poor as hell, right? So I had a bunch of student loans and I had to minimize like rent and you name it. Mm-hmm. And so I lived in the third floor of an attic of a family home. There was no hot water in that attic shower. Mm. But the school gym had showers in it. And so the only way for me to shower was to go to the gym. That was the best hack. So that was like, you know, I was waking up early and working out every morning. Everyone was like, how are you so disciplined? I'm like, I'm not. I just need to shower.
Right. That's what creates the discipline, baby. Yeah, there's nothing like it, man. I'm missing the gym. I'll be honest with you. That's one thing I've been missing. We're trying to stay safe. My wife's pregnant, so I've just been saying, okay, I'll wait till she's done, and then we'll go back into the gyms. And because in California, they've been open, closing, shutting down, open. And so we've just been doing my own thing, you know, but there's nothing like the gym. There's nothing like that extra motivation you get from there. Do you have a favorite app or tool you like using on a daily basis? Is there something you, like, gravitate to?
Oh, that's a good question. To be honest, this is like, I promise this isn't as a plug. I do use our own app. Like that is my one place that I turn to. Shameless plug. But no, so I do use, so Venturel, I mean, we're an operating system for freelancers to scale their business. And required with that, I get a lot of obviously early access and all the stuff that I know is broken, but is, you know, on staging and fun to play with. Nice. But so everything from like my tasks to the files to the tap, what's it called? To the like CRM system and stuff, that's all sort of on Metro. So yeah, I use my own, but I will be honest, I am one of those technologists that wish we didn't have technology. So like in perfect state, I'd live on a farm, I'd have a tractor, I'd have, there'd be no phones. Like that would be, that's
hiking. Right.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is we said earlier, we can't go back. So it's one of those things we have to create our relationship with technology and create hacks that can live our lives more, you know? And so we are not distracted. So we're indistractable. There's a book about that. And then also just, you can do these things. You can tip the do not disturb. There's just little hacks you can do on your phones. Even you cannot go on the damn social media, even though I run a social media agency, you can spend less time on there. You know, you can limit your time on those platforms, you know? And so I always remind people that often that although they are addictive, you are in control. And so you can go put it down. You can just not take you go outside and just not take your phone, and you don't have your phone. It's like a real simple solution. You just put it in a box somewhere or something, you know. Pretty soon we're gonna be selling phone lock boxes just for our addictive selves. Pretty sure that I probably already have those. If you could sit down today to a lovely steak dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be?
My grandma.
I love that, dude. That's amazing.
I know. I wish I had a cooler, sexier answer, Channing Tatum or something. But no, man, I would. Yeah, it'd totally be my grandma.
Dude, that's amazing, man. How old's your grandma? Tell us about grandma.
She had passed a couple of years ago, but she was. I was very fortunate where I grew up with her. And so she was, I would come home from school every day. She had homemade pasta. Oh. If anyone knows, like, you know, the old Italian immigrants, right? They are always pushing food at you. And, you know,
keep eating food.
So she was that. So, you know, a quick reason, and then people that are close to me know about me. But so I when I look at business, I think about it's a way to impact people. And when I look at a way to impact people, my grandma made everyone around her very, very happy. And so when I think about everything that I do from a business context, whether it's a book, whether it's the software, whatever, it's all how do you do that, right? How do you make people happy through your own work? So yeah, no, steak dinner. She would grab some pasta. She would have one glass of wine, probably get too drunk. I'd have to walk her out of the, you know, walk her out of the car. She was skinny mini. She was tiny. So she was the definition of a lightweight. She was definitely not, how do you say it? She was a very sweet looking lady, but she was,
She said what she wanted. It was
authoritative.
Great.
She was authoritative, too, at the same time. You better watch your, better watch yourself. She might slap the whip on you. I love it. Bro, you have an incredible energy and a story, and what you're doing for people and inspiring them to understand the ability to work at scale, to empower teams at scale for themselves is so important. So, guys, please – please take a look at this book. I'm going to put it, we're going to put it in the show notes too. So you don't have to worry about that. We'll put it in the show notes for you. But man, dude, you have an incredible story. And I think that there's more books in your journey and who knows, man, maybe more apps, more, opportunities, family life you talked about possibly in the future, but anything you want, dude, because the world is full of abundance, man. And, anything you put in that mind and you put a little work to will make happen, dude. So, can you give our listeners, where's the best place for you to hang out online? I said, you know, you don't try to spend too much time on social, but maybe give any websites a shout out so we can kind of learn about your journey or kind of find a little bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah. Find me on LinkedIn. That's usually the best spot. And then if you're interested in the book, Amazon, I would argue is the best place, but you can go to humancloudbook.com. If you want to then scale your freelance business or get in touch with some really incredible freelancers, go to VentureL. So it's VentureL.io. And then we'll raffle off some books too, Travis. I think we told you that. So listeners in the audience, we'll figure it out. Maybe it's you share and you got some free books or you name it. So
Let's go.
Find me on LinkedIn and I will respond. I can't promise within 72 hours, but I promise I will respond.
Nice. Do you get a lot of inbound on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
It's not a bad problem to have, dude.
As you do too. Yeah,
it's not a bad problem to have.
The one hint that I'll give people is like, just state your request.
Like, be authentic.
Don't beat around the bush.
Yeah, don't be like, oh, I need to talk to you about your financial. I'm good, dude. I don't even know about financial assets. I gotta fucking tell you
what purpose.
I got my. Yeah, and also I think be very genuine in that you don't need to send someone a copy and pasted message that looks like you're some authoritative person. Just say, hey, Matt, how's your day going in Miami, dude? You find any good Cuban restaurants? That's way more personal and researched, if you want to call it, to Matt to responding than me sending him some 6-page thing about why I want to get him on our podcast or blah, blah, blah. And so that's the thing, how you're going to stand out, just like you talked about in general. I mean, in life, you got so many shots. So if you don't stand out, you're going to get right passed by. And so having those, you know, team around you to make the work look good is very important. But then you yourself, that's the most important thing I think to remember is that the more real you can be, the more personal you can be, and simple is best. They always say, keep it simple, stupid, and it really does work. But, bro, you have an incredible story, like I said, and like I really believe, guys, that you are the human cloud, and anything you want to download and do is possible, and there is abundance out there for you guys. So, folks, you've been hanging out with a legend in the game, Mr. Matthew Mottola and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you again for your time today, and let's keep being real.
What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. We're all going through a lot right now. And real time outsource. My business is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now. Take it seriously. So come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services at little to no cost for most of the businesses. And some businesses, you know, you're going to have to pay, but that's part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now. So take advantage of us. Realtimeoutsource.com. Check us out. And we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond.